Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Samach Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top of Daf Samach Gimel. In the margin under our nosei, our topic heading, we've written very simply, Mahu Rok Tofel. The Mishnah had mentioned amongst the different ingredients or substances that one applies to a stain in order to cancel it, something called Rok Tofel. This has to do with saliva that is Tofel. As far as how to define the word Tofel, that is what we will see in the Gemara. So the Gemara continues at the top of Samach Gimel, Ezu Rok Tofel. What is meant by Rok Tofel? Tana Kol Shiloi To'am Klum Mibo Erev. Anyone who hasn't eaten anything, miboerev. Now, miboerev is a word that the Gemara itself will analyze, but has to do with someone who hasn't eaten anything since the evening, since the previous evening. Sofa Rav Papa Kame Derova Lameimar. Rav Papa thought to say in the presence of Rava, Keman De'omar Lo To'am Midi Be'urta, that the saliva spoken about in the Mishnah is the saliva from someone who did not eat anything last night. In other words, he has not been eating since the previous evening. Omar Le Rava. So Rava says back, he says, Mi Kotoni Bo Erev, does it say in this source, anyone who has not eaten anything, has not consumed any food from the previous evening? Mi bo'erev kotoni. The word mi bo'erev is what is stated. La'afuke hecha dekodim v'ochil. To the exclusion of someone who got up early in the morning and ate after having slept. So, according to this explanation, if one ate a supper last night and then went to sleep, upon waking up in the morning, his roik would be called roik tofel. In other words, there's no objection here to someone having eaten supper last night. The only one that's excluded is someone that, since last night, got up early, ate, and then expected to supply the saliva needed for this particular purpose, as the Mishnah mentions. Let us take a look at the Rashi on the third line from the top. Lafuke dekodim koidim hayom laachar shneor mishinoso, to the exclusion of someone who got up before daybreak and ate after having slept. The lo havi rok tofil. That kind of saliva would no longer be called rok tofil. Lafi shashino mimareres es harok. The sleep of a person embitters the saliva, umchaskoso, and causes it to gain strength. Vehoicho, and the food that one consumes, mimaskoi, umavir es koicho, it sweetens it and removes its potency. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar Rabo Bar Barchano, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Rok Tofel, what is considered Rok Tofel, Kol She'ovar Olov, Chatzos Laila u'beshina. Saliva that has gone through midnight with sleep. So that if you combine the fact that it was the possessor of the saliva had been sleeping through midnight, then upon his arousal, that would be called Rok Tofel. Lememra, are we suggesting the Beshina Talia Milsa, that the definition of Rok Tofel is based on having slept? In other words, the acceptance of the Rok is because of sleep. Well, v'hotnan, but have we not learned, yoshen kol hayom ein ze rov tofel? If someone, let us say, slept all day and then woke up at the end of many hours of daytime sleep, the saliva coming from him would not be called rov tofel. However, ne'ur kol halayla, if someone had been up all night, ne'ur means awoken or aroused all night, hare ze rov tofel. The saliva that he produces at the end of the night, or you know, in the morning after having been up all night, would be considered rov tofel. So that you see from here that sleep is not a factor. The Gemara answers, sleep is a factor. Hasam, the source that spoke about his being ni'ur, kol halayla, awake all night, he wasn't really awake all night. B'misnamnim, he was in a state of misnamnim, and not really awake. Heichidomi misnamnim, what's meant by that, by misnamnim? Amar Rav Ashi, nim velo nim, sleeping but not quite sleeping, tir velo tir, awake but not quite awake. Dekorule vi'oni, he can be called and he'll respond to being called. Velo yoda laduri svara, however, if you were to ask him in this state of mind a question that requires some thought, he won't be able to do it because of his drowsiness. V'chimad kurule midkar. But if he is reminded of something that was said, he will remember. So it's a state of drowsiness, and therefore the sleep factor does play a role in creating rok tofel. Tona, hishkim v'shona pirko. A person who had, let us say, had slept and learned Torah. Torah learning involves speech, recitation and speech. Ein ze rok tofel. It's not considered rok tofel because the speech has this power of reducing the potency of the rok. V'ad kamo, how much speech would cause this reduction in potency? Omar Yehuda bar Shilo, Omar Rav Ashi, Omar Rebbe Elozer, kol shiyotza roiv diburoi shel shaloshos. It's the amount of speech that would that a person would ordinarily speak in the course of 3 hours. So it's the rov diburo, the majority of speech in the course of 3 hours, however much that might be, that would cause the reduction in potency. So according to this calculation, if a person was, let's say, a very rapid speaker, it could be that for an average person, what this person is able to, what an average person in the course of the majority of 3 hours would speak, this person could do in a half hour. That would also reduce the potency of the rok. So we have learned in this sugya that food reduces potency of rok, and speech also has that capacity. We continue in the Gemara. May grisim is leisas grisin shel pul v'chule. The may grisin substance mentioned was the chewed grisin, a type of legume or vegetation that the Mishnah mentioned. Lema misayale l'Reish Lakish. Should we say that our Mishnah provides a support to Reish Lakish's opinion regarding these substances? The Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is of the opinion roik tofel tzorch she'im kol echad ve'echad, that the roik tofel must accompany each one of the 6 other substances mentioned in the Mishnah. So that since the Mishnah speaks about the May Greason as being the chewed up Greason, in chewing there is saliva secretion. And therefore you see a possible reference to Reish Lakish's point of view here, that saliva must accompany each one of the other ingredients. The Gemara rejects this and says, Dilmo hevlo de puma mali. The idea of the chewed May Greason isn't in order to get the saliva mixed in, but rather it's to get the heat, the hevlos, the heat that is produced in one's mouth. And that's what makes the mei greisin effective, and not a sign that you have to have saliva with each one of the ingredients. Masnisin de lo kareb Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like the opinion of Reb Yehuda, the Sanya. Reb Yehuda Omer, mei greisin roiseach v'oiver shiitein l'soichoi melach. Reb Yehuda says that the mei greisin of the that's required is a boiled mei greisin. Over means before salt is added. So that mei greisin roseach, that characteristic is not something that our Mishnah mentions, but rather our Mishnah mentions chewed greisin. My mashma the high oiver lishna da'akdumihu. What is the basis for the use of the word over as meaning something before, prior to? As we saw in this source, we mentioned the mei greisin is an ingredient that's used prior to addition of salt to it. Omar Rav Nachman Vayisuk Yomar Kro, the posuk says vayorotz achimatz derech hakikor vayavor es hakushi. The pasuk describes achimotz as having run and taking over and outrunning, in other words, and getting in front of the kushi in his running. So you see the word vayavor, meaning to get in front of or before, ahead of. Number two, Abai Omar Mehocha. From here you see this idea of v'hu ovar lifneim. Here the pasuk says clearly, and he went in front of them. So the word ovar indicating being in front of. V'boy esema, a third source, it's Mehocha. Vayavor malkum lifneim, v'ashem b'roisham. So it says here, vayavor malkum lifneim, in front of them. Mei raglayim shechmitzu, one of the other ingredients mentioned in the Mishnah, was urine. Urine that shechmitzu has to do with fermenting or being left aside. Tana, kamo chimutzon, how long is the chimutz, the fermentation that's required with regard to the mei raglayim? Answer, shloisha yomim, 3 days. So we're talking here about urine that's been left aside for 3 days as being the necessary aspect of the urine. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, kol shiur chachamim b'ksamim tzorech shiur l'shiuran. Rabbi Yochanan mentions that all the statistics that the chachamim have given us regarding stains, they themselves are unclear. There's vagueness. We need more clarity, more detail to add to the detail that has been provided by the chachomim, by the sages in this area. What further clarification is needed? So Rabbi Yochanan goes on to say, "Dielet el dezokein." You mentioned urine. Well, is it the urine of a youth or of an older person? Deisha o deisha, a male or a female? Mechusim o megulim, covered or left exposed, b'moys hachama o b'moys hakshamim, during the summertime or during the winter. Each one of these variables could make a difference, and it wasn't spelled out. So Rabbi Yochanan expresses his sense of frustration, if you will, that which was stated was still leaves us still with questions. V'tzorach l'kaskes shlosh pa'amim. The Mishnah mentioned that when the ingredients are added to the stain, they must be rubbed 3 times. This rubbing is now itself something that is the subject of the question. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, amtuye vasuye chad, is the back and forth motion a rubbing action where one rubs the clothing within itself after the substance has been applied? Is the rubbing action counted as one when you go back and forth, a to and fro movement, or is the to and fro movement considered 2 rubbings? My, what is the result? What is the conclusion? Teku, it remains unresolved. Heviron shaloi kisidron. The Mishnah mentioned that if they were applied out of order, and the Mishnah mentions a specific order. In other words, the 7 substances that are referred to in the Mishnah are listed in order. So if they're applied out of order, we say that he hasn't accomplished his attempt to cancel, to void the stain. We ought to just recount the order of the substances mentioned, and you can see they're found in the Rashi, but also on the side of our Gemara. Rok Tofel is the first, the second May Grisim, third May Raglayim, fourth Neser, fifth Boris, sixth Kamunya, seventh Ashlag. So as we said, as the Mishnah said, if they're applied out of order, so he hasn't done anything. The Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Hiktim Shniyim L'Rishonim. If a person applied the second half before the first half, Tani Chado Shniyim Alulo, Rishonim Lo Alulo. So one source says that the second group counts for him, the first group doesn't count for him. Betani Idoch, and the other source says, Rishonim Alulo, Shniyim Lo Alulo. The first group counts for him, the second group does not count for him. So at this point, it would appear that these two sources, Tani Chado and Tani Idoch, are contradictory. Omar Abaye. Abaye says they're not contradictory. Evi v'evi shniim oluloi v'loi rishonim. Both agree that the second set of substances will count for him and not the first set. The first set in this case is where he had applied the Neser Boris Kamun Ashlag before applying the Roik Tofel Mei Grisim and Mei Raglayim. So everyone agrees that the Neser, the 4 through 7 that he put on first will not count for him. But everyone will be in agreement that the first set, the first group of things, the Rok Tofel, May Grisim, May Raglayim, will count for him. That's what he applied in this case second. So Umay, if everyone agrees with that, so the question is, Umay Rishonim, in the second source it says that the first counts for him. So, what does that mean that the first counts for him? Which is a reference, in effect, to the Neser, Boris, and Kamunya Va'ashlag. Before we go on, just to clarify, so as to there should be no misunderstanding that in what we are explaining here, is that in the case of these two sources, he applied the second group first. In other words, he applied the Neser Boris Kamunyan Ashlag before applying the Rok Tofel Mei Grisim and Mei Raglayim. And we're saying at this point that the everyone is in agreement that the Shniyim Olulo. What is the Shniyim? The Shniyim is the Rok Tofel, May Grisim, and May Raglayim that he, in fact, applied in the second position. So if everyone is in agreement, what could possibly be meant when it says Rishonim Olulo? The Gemara answers Rishonim L'Kisidram, Shniyim L'Havoroson. They are the first in terms of the accepted order, the required order. So they are referred to as the Rishonim because they're the ones that are expected to be put on first. In this case, he in fact put them on second, and that's why here it says Ushniim Lahavoros, and they were the second group in terms of the actual application in this particular case. So that will count for him, and then he'll have to, after having done that, he'll have to reapply the Neser Boris Kamunyan Ashlag after he placed the Rok Tofel Mei Grisim and Mei Raglayim. The Mishnah. Kol Isha Sheyesh Lo Veses Dayo Shaita. This is a reference to something that we've learned at the beginning of the Masichta, and the Gemara will point out why does this Mishnah repeat itself. But any woman that has a fixed time for seeing her blood flow, her needle blood flow, so there is no retroactive tuma. The Eluhain Havestos, and the following are descriptions of what a Vesis might be. Mefahekes Umeateshes V'choshesheh b'fi kreso b'shipulei me'eho v'shofas u'kemin smar moiroi s'oichazin oisa. Let's go over this list. Mefahekes yawns, Me'ateshes sneezes, Choshesh's befit kreso, she has a pain in her stomach, Ubeshipule meo, or something lower on her anatomy in the area of her reproduction organs. Veshofas, this is a term the Gemara will explain, Ukamin smarmoras ochsinoso, a type of call a chills that possesses her. So any of these we'll call bodily symptoms that's followed by a blood flow, these body signs would be called the vesis, and that when she experiences a woman who experiences these body signs followed immediately by a blood flow, we can say that she is tumea at that point and not from not any retroactive tumah. V'chein kayotze bohen, and likewise anything similar to these. V'chol shekovel l'shloisha pa'amim, if this happened three times, in other words, one of these bodily symptoms, and then a blood flow, harei zevesis. And we say this has established a pattern for her, and therefore there's no suspicion of any blood flow that she would have prior to one of these symptoms. Tanino chadosimlo. The Gemara asks that have we not learned this already? Kol isho shieshlo vesis dayashaita. This is something we learned back on daf beis of this mesifta. Any woman that has a fixed pattern of blood flow, so no retroactive tumah. So why is this Mishnah saying the same thing? The Gemara answers, Hosam bevestais diyomi. There was a reference, the beginning of the mesifta was a reference to vestos based on time, based on days or dates, where a person, let's say a woman, every 15th of the month would experience a blood flow. So a woman like that wouldn't have to suspect that her blood flow started any earlier. Hocha, the Mishnah here is Bevestois Gufa Kidikotoni. Our Mishnah is focusing on bodily symptoms that that announce or accompany the blood flow prior to the blood flow, as the Mishnah itself spells out. Elu hein vestos. The following are the signs. Hoiso mefahekes me'ateshes v'choshesh b'fi kreso v'shipule me'o v'shofas. The Gemara asks, shofas ha shofa v'ozla. Well, literally, the word shofas means she's is a constant flow. So if a woman is experiencing a constant flow, where is the sign of the beginning of a flow? As Rashi says, at the end, ha-koshvas v'ozla v'heichon hu havesis, where is the established time pattern? Ho-yol v'chol yomeh ha-roesh, and she's always seeing. The Gemara answers that we have to understand the word shofas a bit differently. Omar Ula, Bray the Rav Eloi. We now continue at the top of Amid Beis. B'shoifas dam tome mitoich dam tohor. Dam tohor in this context is something that we've learned in this mesichta. It's a type of emission from the woman that has a color that's not of a blood nature. Something like a yellow color, a yellow emission, is what we would call in this case dam tohor. So the vesis of shofas is a woman that first experiences a flow of a non-blood color, and immediately following that flow, there then appears the red or the blood color. So when a woman, if you have a woman that recurred on several occasions, we would say that the yellow flow is a vesis, is a sign that the nidah will start, and therefore a woman like that does not have to suspect that the blood flow had started any earlier, and hence no retroactive tumah. Ukemin smarmoros v'chulei. The Mishnah had mentioned in after that, it said v'chein kayotze bohen, and similarly anything like that. The Gemara asks, "V'chein kayotze ben lasuyemai." This expression of "and likewise anything else," what is being included? What is intended to constitute a vesis that hasn't been mentioned? Omar Rabo Bar Ula Lasuye Isha, to include a woman Sheroisha Koved Aleha, that has a sense of heaviness of head, possibly something like a headache, and then a blood flow, Ve'evorel Koved Aleha, or she has a feeling of heaviness of limbs, Veroseses, or a woman that is in a feeling that she has a state of trembling. The gosa, or a woman who belches. We say here rosesis would be, we can call shivers, or the gosa is belches. And after these things happen, she then has a blood flow. So any of these would be bodily symptoms or signs that would constitute a veses. Omar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Omar Shmuel. Before we go on in the Gemara, the topic heading that is associated with this section of the Gemara reads, Kama Pa'amim L'Kvias Veses. How many times does something have to happen in order for a Veses to be established? Shel Yomim, we have the concern regarding days, or Vestos Haguf, or bodily symptoms, the subject we have been dealing with. So Rav Huna Bar Chiya says in the name of Shmuel HaRei Omru, Liyomim Shnayim, Levestois Achas, Lema Sheloi Monu Chachomim Shloisha. So for dates, date-related blood appearance, if it happens twice, the same date or calendar time arrives twice, and each time with a blood flow, so we say that that establishes the pattern. And with regard to vestos of the body, bodily signs, achas, if it happens once, and lamashe lomanu chachomim, we saw was a category of things, they would have to happen shloisha, three times. Now the Gemara asks, lamashe lomanu chachomim l'suyemai, what is Shmuel intending when he says lamashe lomanu chachomim? Omar Rav Yosef Lasuye, he said, Rav Yosef says this comes to include the things that were already mentioned, Roisha Koved Aleha, Evorim Koved Aleha, Veroisasas, the Goisa. Omar Le Abaye, my Komash Malon, Abaye asks, so according to Rav Yosef's explanation of Shmuel, what is Shmuel coming to teach me? Masnisen he, the Hapirsha Rabo Barula. That was already included in the Mishnah, as Rabo Bar Ula mentioned earlier, so that Shmuel wouldn't be adding anything new by saying that Lamash Emonu Chachamim comes to include those things. Ela Omar Abaye, Lasuye, the Shmuel's teaching of Lamash Emonu Chachamim, that has to happen three times in order to establish a Vesis, would be the following. A woman who, upon eating garlic, then sees a blood flow. Or a woman who ate onion and then saw a blood flow. Or chewed peppercorns and then saw blood. Omar Rav Yosef, Lo Shmieli Ha Shmaitzav. Rav Yosef declares that I did not hear Shmuel's teaching wherein he said, Liyomim Shnayim. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye, responding to Rav Yosef's exclamation that he never heard that, says, An Amriso Nihalon, Vaho Amriso Nihalon. You, in fact, taught it unto us, and based on the following information, you taught it to us. Just a word of background, Rav Yosef, at a certain point, had taken ill, which caused him to forget his learning. And as he came out of his illness, so Abaye often recounted to Rav Yosef things that he, Rav Yosef, claimed he never heard. In fact, he himself was the one who taught it. And Abaye, having been a student of Rav Yosef's before Rav Yosef took ill, was able to recount to Rav Yosef these various teachings. So here is an example of that. So Abaye says that you taught us this halacha of Shmuel. that liyomim shnayim, that with regard to dates, two recurring dates. Upon which blood flow ensued would constitute a veses, would constitute a pattern, and hence the next time that date would arrive, so we say there, the woman would become tamea from that point onwards, and no retroactive tuma. And it was based on the following. So here we have a Tanaic quote. As you can see, it appears in a frame. Following this, you will see Abaye holding forth to what Rav Yosef had originally taught regarding this source. So the this piece of Gemara is what we call a long point, and we have a nun to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Abaye's speech in this long point form. So the Gemara continues. As we mentioned, Abaye had said to Rav Yosef that he himself reported this teaching over in the name of Shmuel, based on the following. A woman had an established pattern of seeing blood on the 15th of the month. And she changed. It happened once that the 15th passed, but on the 20th of the month, she experienced a blood flow. So what happens with regard to the next month? Ze v'ze asurin. The next month, the 15th and the 20th, will be forbidden, meaning she will not be allowed to have relations or intimacy with her husband on those two dates. Shalosh pa'omim liyoyim esrim. If this happened three times, that she missed the 15th on three times, but she saw on the 20th. So hutur yom chamisha asar, the need to suspect the appearance of blood on the subsequent, on the next 15th, will no longer be a consideration. In other words, having gone by 3/15 of the month and the blood did not appear, but it does appear the 20th on those three occasions, so we say hutur yom chamisha asar v'kava lo yom esrim, and she's established now the 20th of the month for her veses. She'eini shokoyvas lo veses ad shekibeno shalosh pamim. A woman does not establish a veses until it's established three times. V'amris lon alah, and you, Rav Yosef, taught us regarding this. Omar Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Reb Gamliel bar Rebbe, Sheomar Mishum Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. The statement in this source is a reflection of the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that is a well-known position that says that patterns or statuses are not established until something happens three times. You need three times to establish a chazoka, a status, and in this case the veses, the pattern, is not established until it happens three times. Avol chachomim oimrim, but the chachomim disagree, and they say as follows: ro'asa eino tzricha lo lishanois v'lo lishalish. First we translate this, and it is that ro'asa, seeing a blood flow, doesn't require twice nor three times. The Amrinon Lochen, we asked you, this statement doesn't make sense. Lishanois Amrislon, you said it doesn't require two times, so Lishalish Mibaya, so certainly it doesn't require three times. In other words, if you're telling me, if you're telling us that a pattern is established and you don't need two times, so certainly you don't need three times. The Amrislon, and you, Rav Yosef, taught us, you told us, you clarified to us, Lishanois Bevestois, Lishalesh biyomim. In other words, you don't need lishanos, you don't need two times, you don't need something to happen twice in the case of vestos haguf and the body symptoms, and lishalesh, you don't need something to happen three times biyomim when it comes to dates. So what do you need with regard to dates? Two times. So after all said and done, if we go back and review what we've seen, so at the upper part of the page, the fifth line from the top, we saw Shmuel's name highlighted, and he said there, Liyomim Shnayim. Rav Yosef had said, well, I never heard this comment of Shmuel l'yomim shnayim. So Rabbi says to Rav Yosef, well, here it is. You yourself taught us in the name of Shmuel, whose name we swivel underlined about 6-7 lines ago. And Shmuel had held forth, according to your own teaching, on this very point, that you don't need l'shalish, but 2 is enough when it comes to a calendar date. And we're establishing now that that happens to be a shita that he calls here the Chachamim, which means it's a shita other than that of Reb Shimon Gamliel, who requires 3 times. The Gemara asks a technical question. If you notice, we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. A few lines up, there's a parallel star where Shmuel had said, Zu divrei Ramliel Barebi, Sha'omar Mishum Reb Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara asks, V'neima Zu divrei Reb Shimon Gamliel. Why not say straight out that this is the teaching, this idea of needing 3 times is the teaching of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? What is purpose of the longer quote that you made, that was made? Rashi adds that the questioner is based on the idea that Rav Shimon Gamliel's idea of 3 times is a well-known shita that in order to establish a chazaka anywhere, you need 3 times. The Gemara answers, Ha koma Shmuel and Shmuel. What Shmuel accomplishes here by quoting Rav Gamliel Barebi, who quoted Rav Shimon Gamliel, is the Rav Gamliel Barebi ki Rav Shimon Svirle. Shmuel is really trying to say that Rav Gamliel Bar Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. The Mishnah, Hoysel Muda Lios Roya Betchilas Havestos, Kol Hataros Shaosta Besoch Havestos Tameos. A woman who was accustomed to seeing blood of her at the beginning of her Veses, and Rashi says Besoch Vestos. Actually, let's go on just another comment in the Mishnah first. A woman who is accompanied, we have said so far, the woman who is accustomed to seeing at the beginning of her Veses, so all the Taros that she does, Besocha Vestos or Timaeus, and Rashi comments on Besocha Vestos are, we're talking about Vestos Haguf. These are the bodily symptoms that we had been discussing just in the previous section of Gemara. So the taros that she does in the middle of these vestos are tameos, besof havestos. If she is accustomed to seeing blood at the end of the veses, kol hataros shosto besof havestos tahoros. So if she is a type of woman that first has these bodily symptoms and after they finish, only then does the blood flow start. So if, let us say, she was in yawning. So while she was yawning, if she's like this second category that she sees only after she finishes yawning, so taros that she was handling, food that she was handling during her yawning would remain tohar. Reb Yossi Omer Af Yomim Ushois Vestos. This will be explained in the Gemara. Hoysa Lemuda Liois Roya Im Honei Tzachamo. If a woman was accustomed to sing with the sun rise, Eino Asura Elo Im Honei Tzachamo. She is Usur, she's prohibited from intimacy with her husband, and hence suspect of having a blood flow, but only at sunrise. However, before sunrise and after sunrise, she would be muteris. Reb Yehuda Omer, kol hayoyim shela. Reb Yehuda disagrees and says that if you have a woman that's accustomed to seeing with the neitzachamo, so the following day she is muteris. However, the nighttime that leads up to the sunrise, she would be prohibited. we see a controversy regarding this particular case of a woman who is accustomed to seeing her blood flow at sunrise. this section of the Mishnah will be explained in greater detail as we go on in the Gemara. Tana, Ketzad Omer Rav Yossi Yomim Vishos Vestos. What is meant by Rav Yossi's comment when he says that days and hours are vestos? So the Brisa explains. Hoysa lemudah liyos roya miyoyim esrim umishesh shos lishesh shos. A woman who is accustomed to seeing on the every on the 20th at the 6th hour of the day. Higia yoyim esrim velo ra'asa, when the 20th comes and she doesn't see. Asura l'shamesh kol sheish shos rishonos. She is prohibited from having intimacy for the first 6 hours of that day. Divrei Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Yossi matir ad sheish shos. When the 20th comes, he says she can have intimacy up till the 6th hour of the day. V'cheshesh b'sheish shos, but she suspects she has to refrain from intimacy during the 6th hour. So the first 5 hours of the day, up till the 6th hour, she is allowed, but during the 6th hour, she is prohibited. Avru sheish shos v'lo ra'asa, with the passage of the 6th hour, and she still hasn't seen, she hasn't had a blood flow. Asura l'shamesh kol hayom kulo, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. She is prohibited in having relations the rest of the day. Rabbi Yossi matir min hamincha ulamala. Rabbi Yossi allows from mincha onwards. Mincha is a time that that sets in at the 7th hour of the day. So you can see here that Rabbi Yossi is saying that just like the way we treated the body signs, the body symptoms with regard to when is something usher, so too we treat yomim and shos in a similar way. And that means that at that specific hour that she was accustomed to seeing, during that specific hour she is prohibited, but before and after she is allowed to be with her husband. Hoysa lemuda, the Mishnah mentioned that she was a woman who was regular to see to seeing blood with sunrise. So in that section of the Mishnah we saw Rabbi Yehuda saying that she is allowed to be with her husband the rest of the day. The Gemara asks, "Hois v'ha tanya Rabbi Yehuda omer kol halaylo shela." Here we have to the contrary, where it says the whole day, the whole nighttime is hers, meaning she's muteris through the night. That would be against our Mishnah that said all through the day. Loi kashya, there's no contradiction. Ha diregila lirois betchilas yamama. A woman who is accustomed to seeing at the beginning of the day, so that that means that she doesn't see during nighttime hours, but rather during daytime hours, the beginning of the day. So that is the case where we say kol halayla shalah. She is allowed throughout the night. The Mishnah that mentions that the day is hers, she in the Mishnah's case, she's accustomed to seeing at the end of the night. So that's when she's accustomed to seeing. And if she doesn't see at the end of the night, so the daytime is allowed. Tani Chada, we have here two sources that are featured. One says Rabbi Yehuda Osra Lifnei Vesta Matiro Liachar Vesta. She, according to Rabbi Yehuda, she is allowed, or she's forbidden before the Vesis and allowed after the Vesis, assuming that no blood flowed. V'tanya idach, another source says, Asura le'achar Vesta, that she is forbidden after the Vesis, and Matira lefnei Vesta, and allowed before. Now these would be seemingly contradictory sources. Velo kashya, there is no contradiction. Ha deregila lemechsi lesof layla. If she's accustomed to seeing at the end of the night, so in that case, we would say she is forbidden before the Vesis. In other words, that since she sees at the end of the night, so the whole night which precedes the Vesis will be forbidden. She cannot have intimacy then. And the source, the other case, the other source, the second source where she says, where it says that she's usur after her veses, she is accustomed to seeing at the beginning of the day. So it's from the beginning of the day for the balance of the day, she is forbidden. And that's what the second, that's what the Bay's source was referring to of being usur le'achar vesta. But the nighttime that preceded it, with Nei Vesta, she'd be muteris. Omar Rava, halacha ke Rebbe Yehuda. Rava rules that we follow Rebbe Yehuda, that forbids her the during that time period, that what we call the oina. And oina is a time period known as either day or night. That's what the term oina means. And Rava rules like Rebbe Yehuda, who doesn't, who expands the time period not to the specific hour, like we saw before Rabbi Yossi doing, but including a greater time frame. The Gemara asks, "Umi Omar Rava Hachi? Does Rava really rule like that?" V'hat Tanya, we have the following source: "Vizartem es Bnei Yisrael mitum asam." You shall warn the Jewish people concerning their impurity. Mikano Rabbi Yirmiyahu Azhor Lebnei Yisrael Shifushu Minishaseim Samuch Leveston. From here, there is a warning to the Jewish people, to the Jewish men, to cease intimacy, to distance themselves from their women, from their wives. Samuch Leveston. Vekama, how much is meant by Samuch Leveston? Omar Rava, and Rava says Oina. My lav oino achriti. Does it not mean an extra oino? And not like Rava's ruling two lines above, where he said the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda, which prohibits her just that very time period. As we said before, if a woman was accustomed to seeing, let's say, at the end of the night, so that entire night, that is when she is prohibited. Did that not mean just that night? That and not like Rava seems to be ruling over here, an extra time period. In other words, not just the night, but the daytime before as well. Loi, that's not what Rava means when he says here oino, meaning an extra time period, but rather oisa oino. The Gemara asks, "Vitarti lomali." So, what do I have two rulings of Rava that tell me the same thing? Tzricha, I need both of these rulings. One is where he has said the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda, and the other, this explanation of the source, where he said oina. The iashminin ha. Had I had just that one, have amino hani mili letaros, avol lebaylo loy. Had I just had the ruling that halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda, I would have thought that that's a reference to prohibition or the phenomenon of being metame food, but there would be no warning against intimacy with her husband. Komash Malon, therefore I need this second source where Rava comments on it, where you have Rabbi Yirmiyahu saying it's a warning to stay away from their wives. Vimeahi, had I just had Rava's explanation of this source and not the point that he rules like Rebbe Yehuda, have amino, samuch levesta, I would have thought that the term samuch levesta is oino achriti, in fact, an extra ona of prohibition. Komash malon oisa ona. Therefore, I need the first ruling of Rava where he rules like Rebbe Yehuda, meaning that the prohibition is only during that ona and not an extra time period. The Mishnah. Hoysa lemuda liyois roya yoim tes vav. A woman was accustomed to seeing blood on the 15th of the month. V'shinsali yisroi liyoim esrim. And then she changed her pattern, and she saw on the 20th. Zev is asurin. So the next month that comes about, she'll be prohibited on the 15th and the 20th. Shinsa pamayim liyoim esrim. If this happened twice, in other words, again, she missed the 15th but saw on the 20th, Zev is asurin. So regarding the third month that comes around, the 15th and the 20th will be prohibited, being that we still suspect her coming out with a blood flow on the 15th and the 20th. Shinsa gimel pamim, if this happened again three times, shinsa gimel pamim liyoim esrim, as if it happened three times that she missed the 15th and but did see on the 20th, Huter Tezvav Kabbalah Yoim Esrim. So the next time the 15th comes about, she will not be prohibited, but and she won't be considered Tamea or prohibited or suspect, and she can have intimacy with her husband, but the 20th will be established as her pattern. Sheini Shokivas Loveses Achik Tepena Gimel Palmim. A woman doesn't establish a veses, a pattern, until it's established three times. Veinu Metaheres Min HaVeses, and she doesn't literally become purified from a vessus, but it means she doesn't change her previous established pattern until she uproots it, until she misses it three times. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.